To the churches, the seven churches, we kind of started on that last week, just introductory thing, so that's where we're going to begin again this morning. And just a reminder, and for those of you who were not with us last week, just so that you kind of know what's going on. We're looking at these seven letters in chapters 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. And there are some things about these letters, generally speaking, that we need just to be aware of, all right? So the first one is that the letters basically are forcing the recipients to look at themselves before they are introduced to the apocalyptic horrors. In other words, as we had said last week in this, it's an inspection, so to speak. Churches are to establish whether they're prepared for their ordeal, which is the coming persecution. So what we were saying last week is that think about it as this is an opportunity for these churches to look in the mirror at themselves. Okay? Take a good hard look and see what's there, what might be missing, what needs to be adjusted, and we talked about it in the way just like, you know, you get up in the morning, get yourselves ready to go to church or go to work or whatever. You're looking and you're trying to see what do I need, you know, to fix or, you know, to comb my hair or, you know, whatever the case is, because you don't want to go out and people look at you kind of funny and you're going, what? You know, what's wrong? And so that's what the purpose of the mirror is. And in a sense, these letters are like that for the churches. So for them to be able to look at some things that God is seeing. Okay? These are things that God is seeing, and he's saying, you need to look at these things, because this is what I'm seeing. There's some good and there's some bad here. Okay? And you need to look at yourselves and make whatever adjustments need to be made. And we need to, as we're looking in the mirror, so to speak, to do the same thing. Okay, so here's how I would encourage you to be, as we read through these different letters, okay? Think about that letter, if it were being written to us here at Edge Hill. Each one of those seven letters, as we're going to go through and talk about them, look at it that way, as if we're looking in the mirror as a church and saying, okay, does any of this apply to us? Do we need to make some adjustments here? Okay? But also look at it from the standpoint of you personally, individually. Okay? Are there adjustments that you personally need to make? Right, so that's the challenge for us as we look through this. Now, there's a four-part breakdown of these letters. In other words, these are the things that are common to each of these letters here. The first is that there is a part of the description of the Christ from the vision that we read about and studied in chapter 1. Okay, each one of these letters begins with some kind or has in it part of that description. All right? The second is that there is an emphasis of the good qualities of that particular church, with the exception of the church in Laodicea. All right? There are no good qualities there. There is also, the third thing is, there is blame for the shortcomings, except for Smyrna and Philadelphia. All right, and then the fourth part of it here is that there are promises of blessings on those who conquer. So basically the idea here is that God is telling the churches there, right, you're getting ready to face some really tough times. Remember, and I keep going back to this, what is our theme? Things are bad. They're going to get worse, okay? But in the end, the victory is assured, right? Okay, so, you know, it's like they're looking at themselves and they're saying, boy, life is bad. This, you know, things are really bad in the world. And God is saying, you think it's bad now, they're fixing to get worse. Okay? You like that word, fixing? I think God uses that word, okay? You know, God is saying to them, they're fixing to get worse, okay? So you need to take a really good hard look at yourselves before they do get worse, because if you think they're bad now, the question is, are you going to be able to uphold your faith and stand up as they get worse? Okay, it's the old saying, you know, in other words, if God might be saying, if you think they're bad now, you ain't say nothing yet. All right? Because they're getting ready to get bad. And so the issue is to look and to see, are you prepared for what's coming? All right? So look at it that way as we look at these different letters and things that he is writing to them. Okay. To the church in Ephesus. Let me get somebody to read for us, if you would, verses 1 through 7. Somebody, don't be shy. Peggy?
To the angels of the church in Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden angels.
We see, again, part of our fourfold description here of the things that are unfolding. He begins to this church, the words of him who holds the seven stars and walks among the seven lampstands. That's the part of that description that we had talked about earlier. So he goes through and begins to talk about some specific things that are in focusing on what they're doing right. Okay? First of all, their hard work and their perseverance, they are commended for that. Okay? I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. So they're working. They're not just kind of sitting around on their hands expecting people to do. They're getting the job done. Okay? What kind of work do you suppose he's referring to here? This is speculative, by the way, because he doesn't say specifically. What kind of work do you think they're doing? Okay, they're sharing the gospel. Most likely, that's the work of the Lord, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay? So they're persevering in that work, all right? He says also, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men. All right? You're not putting up with them. Those who are wicked, you're not putting up with them. You're not allowing them to come in and rest among you and just kind of settle in and so forth. That's going to come a little bit later. We'll see with some others. Okay? So they're not tolerating that. All right? And he says that you have tested the claims of those you cannot tolerate wicked men, and that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. Okay? What's the problem there in that particular area? If you don't test, we have that claim going on today?
Oh, yeah.
Again, we see through things like this how relevant this book is to us even today. There are those You know, within the big picture realm of Christianity, who today claim to be apostles.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, according to what the scriptures teach, that can't be possible. Okay? I don't think that any of those today who claim to be apostles were around and followed and walked with Jesus when he was here.
Right. Right.
Okay? I don't think that any of them have been. And I don't know that any of them claim to have been. But is that not part of what the requirement was when they found a replacement for Judas? Okay? The only exception to that was who? It was Paul. Okay? And he had the blessing of spending time with the Lord personally, right? I mean, you know, after he had gone back to heaven. He had that opportunity. So, you know, again, here's a perfect example of why we today need to look in that mirror. All right? We need to reflect on what he's telling them. We need to make sure that, you know, someone comes along and they're claiming things. Is it true? Okay. And they were apparently on target with that. Okay? They're testing those claims and so forth. Now, you know, if you think about it, that's a whole lot easier to claim back then than it is today, wasn't it? You know, because, I mean, it's just so close to the time and, you know, and so forth. So, but they were apparently, they were right on top of that. Someone come along and saying, well, hey, I've got the authority, I'm an apostle, and you need to listen to me, and here's my teachings. And they're going, no, I don't think so. We're not going to do that. Okay. So they are testing those claims, all right? And then he says, they are enduring hardships, okay? You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. All right? Have not grown weary. Look over, let me get somebody to turn over to Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Let's go over there for a moment. Look at what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Ephesian elders. Who's got that and wants to read for us? Mildred, please go ahead.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Okay, so here Paul, who is an apostle, is speaking to the elders of the church there in Ephesus, right? And he's giving them a warning, is he not? All right, and that warning has to do with what? Do what? What's coming, but what specifically is coming? What's he talking about here?
False teachers.
False teachers, okay? There's going to be some false teachers going to come in. They're going to try to draw people away from your own number. Where are they going to come from? Even from among yourselves, your own number. There's going to be those who are going to come and distort the truth. They're going to teach false things, and they're going to draw people away. And this is happening in the church at that time. All right? Thankfully, we don't have that happening in the church today. All right? Okay. So again, you see how relevant this writing is to us today. We need to heed the same warning. That warning is for, you know, the elders of this church. We need to be careful You know, that we don't allow someone to come in here and start teaching things that are going to draw people away and, you know, and so forth. And I tell you this, this eldership is committed to that. All right? Amen. Not on my watch. That's not going to happen.
Amen.
Okay? We've had some folks in the past here that have come in and start teaching some things that weren't what they were supposed to be. And we've said, ain't going to happen here. That ain't happening. So, you know, for those of you who weren't here years ago when all that was happening, just to assure you, the eldership here is on guard. We're protecting the flock. We're not going to let that happen here. Okay? But again, it's important for you to understand and realize those words are still valid and true today as they were when they were first written back then. Okay? How about Paul's words to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 11. Let me get somebody to read that for us, please. Yes. Who's got it? Okay, Brian, read that for us, please. 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 11.
As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, every man that this is so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrine in your own way, to devote themselves to ministry and endless community. Such things to make controversial resolutions rather than advancing God's word, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love.
Okay, what's the message that Paul is giving to, this time, the evangelist, Timothy here?
He warned him.
Okay, what's he warning him about, and what is his job? What's the evangelist's job to do here?
His job is to stop the false teaching.
Yes. In other words, you know, you warn these people, and you get rid of them. Get them out of there. You know, so, you know, in other words, is the preacher, the evangelist, responsible for what's being taught and what is being allowed there?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Actually, everybody
is responsible. Sure. We all are. Part of the problem, though, is that a lot of folks don't know the word well enough to know whether what they're being told is false, true, or false. Okay? Whose fault is that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You see, we need to know the word. We need to study the word and learn it and know it. So if somebody comes along and says, hey, let's start doing this, okay, then we know well enough what the Bible says, and we're going to say, it's going to happen. Right?
One of the things that also is responsible, I want to say, is the elders need to be together when false teachers come into the church. And if there's no elders, there ought to be some well-versed men in the congregation. They have to lead the congregation to tell them what's right and wrong. I know what it's like when people rise up against you, even as a leader. And it's a hurtful thing.
Yes, it is.
It's very hurtful because the church is then vulnerable to all kinds of things to come in. And I've been there. I know what it's like. And it's one of the, and I don't use the word hate often, but it's one of the things I hate more than anything. When you tear the Lord's church up.
Oh, absolutely.
And then for your own self and gain. You know, it's a hurtful thing.
Absolutely.
And I said, at my age, I ain't for that. I get too old for that stuff. And I want to make sure that it doesn't happen here at this congregation. And if the elders don't stand together, that's what can happen.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to stand together on some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
All this stuff. On that's everything. Not right.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I think the great lesson here is that we do have a unified eldership. We stand together on the word. And, you know, I too, and many of you know, I've been through two church splits that are terrible. And both of those were caused by elders who wanted to do things their own way rather than God's way.
Lord, over.
And, you know, they were wolves in sheep's clothing, just as we read out what Paul was describing to the Ephesian elders. And, you know, when I stood up and opposed them and said, you know, hey, that's not the way it's got to be, and they, you know, fine, you're fired. Fine me, but, you know, as long as I'm the preacher here, we're not doing these things. Fine, you're not the preacher here anymore. Okay. You're the one's going to have to answer God for that. But it is a terrible thing to go through, and you see, especially leadership that is doing those things.
I think it's interesting here where he's saying we know about what the law says about the people outside the church, the sinners. Right. He wasn't addressing that; he was addressing exactly what you're talking about the laws that applies to us and inside the church.
Amen.
Yes. And we need to make sure that we're upholding that. Let me tell you something. God takes that seriously. You know, and his word is it. Okay? And we need to make sure that we are going to stand for his word and not allow, you know, I think as Ray used the word, unkind foolishness. You know? And because a lot of times that's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. And a lot of times it is pride that gets into people's way and causes them to do things and stand for things that they know is not according to God's word. So we need to, you know, sometimes there's a cost involved in that.
Yeah. Okay?
But are we willing to stand up and pay the cost? Okay. Cause of it.
We as a congregation need to be just as much responsible as the elders are and aggressive. And then if somebody comes to you and tries to correct you with love, then we as a congregation need to stop being so tender-hearted or be so easily offended and listen to productive criticism, because if we don't have that, how can we grow? We have to be acceptable to it.
Absolutely.
Being called on something. It's not that. The reason I bring this up because I see so many people also leave a congregation because somebody's trying to lead them in the right way and they're not offended by it. And that's why I'm saying we also need to be responsible to take. I don't even want to say criticism. I want to say guidance. And a lot of people take it as criticism. And just be glad that somebody thought enough of you to correct you.
Well, and sometimes it's a matter of sin, and we need to correct sin. And we, you know, again, what is the area talking about? You're not tolerating wicked men. And so when we've got people that are involved in sin, And I'm not talking about all of us, we stumble and we struggle. That's not what he's talking about here. We're talking about people who are doing sinful things, they know they're doing it, and they're not even care whether they're doing it or not. And we need to oppose that kind of stuff. And one congregation that I was at where, you know, we had that kind of thing going on, we didn't have any elders, okay? We had the evangelists. Guess who that was? And so, you know, the men of the congregation, I don't know who in the world in their great, you know, manly, earthly wisdom came up with this system of doing things, But, you know, we're going to let the men of the congregation meet and decide things and run the church. Oftentimes you have men who, you know, don't have a clue as to what the scriptures teach or telling,
right.
you know, the preachers what needs to be done and so forth. Because the preacher is a higher person, you know, a preacher needs to listen to these guys. And that was the attitude of some of these guys. You know, and so, you know, I went and, you know, we had a problem with the person, and I went to that person, as the scriptures say, and I confronted that person with their sin, and that time we had a committee. Yeah, we had a committee. And you know what the name of that committee was? It was called the Preacher Oversight Committee. I still hadn't found that one in the Bible anywhere. Okay? But their wisdom was that they were a committee of men who were, you know, their intention was to be able to guide the preacher, you know, and so forth. Well, this person that I needed to confront over the sin that they could commit was one of those men's wives. And I went to her and confronted her with it, and the next thing I knew, the committee called me. You shouldn't have gone to her. Why not? Because she's a married woman.
So?
What does that have to do with it?
That's what I said. They said, well, wisdom would dictate that if you have a married woman, then you should go to her husband and talk to him first.
Is he the one that's going to hurt her?
I said, whose wisdom? Yours or God's? Okay? And they basically said, from now on, if you have a woman who's married, we don't want you going to her. If there's a problem, you come to her husband. I said, ain't going to happen. And I'm going to do things the way the Bible tells me. They said, are you telling this committee that you're not going to do what we tell you to do? I said, if you're telling me to do something the Bible tells me otherwise, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm going to do it God's way. You see? And the reason I'm telling you is because I want you to know something. That's me, okay? Those of you who've known me for a while, you know that's who I am. That state trooper in me comes out, okay? We're going to do things according to God's law, not man's law. Okay? And I don't really care who you are. Okay? So you can be well rest assured that you're defended by this eldership and by this preacher. We're going to do things God's way. Alright? It doesn't matter to me who it is. Okay? Alright, I got hands up. Y'all want to fire me, go ahead. Brian over here, Charlotte over here, Judy over here. Go ahead. Brian starts off, we'll go around this way.
You know, we've said this before, there's nothing new underneath the sun.
Right.
But because this has been spiritual warfare since Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. It started that day and it will not end until judgment day.
Right.
And we need to be on the defensive as a congregation and as individuals, realizing that the devil's going to attack us, especially when we're doing what's right. So, as a congregation, if we do what is right, we need to expect and look out for and be prepared for those attacks.
Right.
Because Satan's going to come after us because we are in spiritual warfare until judgment day.
Exactly. Okay. Charlotte?
Yes, making a comment on Jesus saying he doesn't want to be troubled with him. Brothers in love, God in love. Well, that's Satan. Yeah. Stay off of Facebook.
Yes.
Right.
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Facebook, with some of our mouth,
And can we make sure it's true, you know?
Well,
that's a good thing. It bothered me so bad once that I had to say that when I heard it from somebody I never knew. Facebook?
I appreciate that. I don't do Facebook, and part of it is I don't have any friends, so I'm not going to share with friends. I don't have any friends, so I don't. But
I do know that I sin in love. I cannot love you more than Jesus.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And when I sin, I mean it, because I love my brother. Don't say on Facebook. You are breaking people off.
I don't do Facebook. I have no interest in doing it, so I don't know about a lot of stuff that's being said. I've heard some things, and if half of what I've heard is true, you're exactly right. Some people I've confronted over things that I've heard and asked them about it. You know, the Bible even covers that. A lot of that that's going on there, from what I've heard, is gossip, and the Bible say about that.
That's right.
So please be careful. Everybody can see that stuff out there.
Just because somebody posts on there that they're Church of Christ doesn't mean that they're right.
That's exactly right.
And people have said to me, you know, you believe that if I'm not a member of the Church of Christ, I'm not going to heaven. I'm like, no, the name doesn't have a lot to do with it. You have to check and see if that church is preaching the right thing to us. There's a lot of people out there with those names on them. I've been to a few that are denominations. They've turned over to keep their money coming in.
Well, we do need to be very careful about what we're, you know, passing around out there. All right, wait a minute. I've got more hands. Ryan and then Dolores over here. We'll work our way up this way. First answer is, that is so far above my pay grade, I can't even begin to answer that. That's up to God, okay, what he's going to do with people. Because God judges people's hearts, okay, and I leave that up to him, all right? So let me just kind of start with that, all right? But having said that, whose responsibility is it to know the word? It's our responsibility. So, do what now?
We have to strive for it. We really know the truth. And we
looked
into it. We
moved
into
the
truth.
Right. And but there is, you know, this, you know, there's a lot of false teaching that's being done out here, okay? And there's a lot of people that are just believing what they're being told. Their preacher is telling them this. And so, I mean, take the whole issue of baptism, for instance. That's one of the biggest ones, you know? And you got, you know, whole denominations of churches out here that are teaching falsely on whether a person needs to be baptized in order to be saved. Well, whose responsibility is that? It's their responsibility to check it out. And I think part of the problem, at least with a lot of folks that I have talked to directly, different church settings and so forth, you know, they don't want to hear that. You know, because this is something they've always been told, and you show them like plain what it says in the Bible, and they go, yeah, but.
The whole problem is they're trying to make the person who's teaching them their savior.
Right. Well, that's part of it, Stephen, but I think the other part of it is this is what I've always known. This is the church that I grew up in. This is, you know, my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents, you know, they're not going to change. And so that then comes back to a heart issue before God as to whether you sincerely want to follow his will or whether you want to just do what is convenient and easy. But God's the one who's going to have to judge that, okay? The Bible does make it clear there is a special responsibility upon those who are teachers that God is going to hold accountable for what they teach. You see? And so all of that, I think, goes into, you know, what you're asking about. People that don't know, you know, especially I think my biggest concern is on those who are young or new Christians. That don't know, they haven't learned yet, and they get thrown in with, you know, people that are teaching things wrong, you know, that's a struggle for them because, you know, they don't know. They don't know how to study the Bible oftentimes. But the challenge is still the same for everyone, for us to be looking at God's word and searching it and to see if the things that are being said are true. That's like, you know, Paul talks about the Bereans, and that's what everybody needs to be. It is to be Bereans, to check out the things that are being told. And that's whether you're a new Christian or a young Christian. For to make sure that what we're being taught is true. And you've heard me say it time and time before, you know, I'm, you know, if you hear me say something that doesn't sound right, then come and let me know. Come and talk to me about it. And some of you have, some of you come and said, hey, you're talking about this, I'm not sure I understand that, or, you know, I've never heard that before, or whatever. Well, let's talk about it. You say, I could be wrong. All right? I was wrong once. I thought I made a mistake one time, and I didn't. But, you know, yo, I'm just joking, right? Okay. No, but seriously, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that I have that I think about, some of the things that I taught, because that was my understanding, and some of them the way I was taught in college, you know, about what the Bible teaches on this issue or that issue, and I don't get those things anymore. I don't even know what I mean. Because I don't agree with that. I don't think it's really what the Bible teaches. So we, you know, we all have to be responsible for that. We've got to be careful about what it is that we're following, what we believe.
You know, this brings me back to what Mike always said early in the beginning of philosophy. He always said, before you try to tell somebody, let's say it's the Lord, you better check and make sure that's really what he said.
What the Lord really said, right? Jared? Okay. And I think oftentimes that's the thing we have to do is slow down. And, you know, and I think part of what Charlotte was saying and Kay just said, you know, maybe use this as a way to measure. Don't put anything on there that you wouldn't share with someone face to face. You know, in other words, are people trying to use it kind of so I don't have to see them face to face? You know, we're running Facebook instead of face time. Okay.
We also need to remember it's not just has to do with tearing somebody down that's within the household of faith, but also we as Christians can't tear down or say things about people outside of the church, because if they know we're Christians, they don't.
Share. We don't check it out. You know who you're hurting? You're not hurting that CEO. You're hurting that person that's sitting over there that works for that business here in town. And I have seen it. And we do it. We click share and we say, this business persecutes Christians, blah, 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 blah. And we go, check it out.
Right.
And you don't know that.
If it's on the media out there, then it must be true, right? If it's on the computer, it must be
exactly.
True. Because people wouldn't send it out there if it wasn't true, right?
Thank you.
Fake news,
yeah.
That's it.
So, yeah. You know, we got to be really careful about this. Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm told you about it. She's not
Judy mentioned something about this earlier, you know, that we need to be aware of. Look, we talk about this all the time, we're family. Okay? And, you know, because we're family, you just think about what, you know, you've got at home, you know, you're not always going to do what you're supposed to do, the way you're supposed to do it. Sometimes we'll be hungry, grouchy, you know, those kind of things. We're not always going to be what we're supposed to be. That's because we're human. Okay? We're going to disagree on some things. But because those things happen, you know, you just pack up and leave, you know, and go somewhere else because we're unhappy with this or because somebody said this or did that or what have you. If you've got a problem, go to the person and talk to them about it. Whether it's an elder or a preacher or anybody else, go and talk to them about it. You know, part of it may be, you know, a misunderstanding. It's, you know, fake news. Somebody said this about this and this, and it got passed around, and I heard this, and, you know, when you're family, you go to one another and you talk about whatever's going on, and you fix it because you care about one another. You see? And so, you know, just think about that. All right, Brian?
We talk about Facebook, but it's a hard issue. Because we're supposed to act like Christians once we leave this building.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's watching you, seeing the things that you do. So I only do on Facebook, put out in public. A couple of weeks ago, I didn't bring up my name, but I walked up on somebody who was yelling and screaming because I was a chief officer.
Posting of something, you know, somebody is like, it goes everywhere. So yeah, be careful what you say.
Amen.
It may come back around. All right. This is a really,
I don't know.
This is a button, a sensitive button, isn't it?
I don't know if anybody else except me saw it. I think it was 2020 or whatever it was last week. And it was a guy on there about the Fox News. And it was a guy on these places. It mentioned all these stories.
The fake news stuff that Trump has been saying, what have you. You know, how many of the National Enquirer has been around probably as long as I have, okay? The Star, you know, Inquiring Minds want to know and all that kind of stuff. I mean, who takes that stuff seriously? Okay? A lot of people.
It's an election.
Yeah. So you need to be careful. All right, we're out of time, folks. This obviously is a really hot button on Facebook. Be careful what very much. We will continue talking.